This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Brendan Marks on The Athletic coming up in 30 minutes, but we start this hour with the former Tiger star, who, by the way, was in the documentary the other night, hitting a long three from in front of the Clemson bench in the 2008 ACC tournament semifinals against Duke. Please welcome Terrence Oglesby to the program. Did you see yourself in the dock the other night hitting one of those 35-foot threes?
I did. I think it was the only good play I had for that whole tournament. But what an exciting tournament that was. People remind you all the time. It's crazy that it's 2008 and it keeps getting further and further away. But what a great run. Oliver Purnell and those guys, obviously. The way we pressed, we threw a curveball to what everybody else was doing in the league, and it was a lot of fun. And it was pretty cool to be a part of that and be a part of that documentary. Now, we didn't have anybody from that team on there, and that doesn't hurt my feelings at all, guys. But I'm glad it turned into a Tyler Hansborough documentary, too, for that portion of the show. So it made me happy.
I'm going to tie all this together. Yeah. I mean, it's March Madness for argument's sake. We got conference going and stuff going on. But between what happened to Furman at the end of the game in which you called and what happened to Clemson last night for two teams in the upstate of South Carolina, man, there'll be some misery in the upstate, right? The way those two games that came to an end, last second shot, buzzer beaters, walk-offs, kind of crazy. But that's what you expect this time of year.
Yeah, similar spots on the floor too, which is even crazier. Now, the David Jean Baptiste for Chattanooga, his was further out, and Furman had just put it up. So, I mean, there were some differences there, but both games, high level. I was fortunate enough to be at the SoCon tournament for the first 2 days. I called all those games, and then that tournament, by and large, guys, you know, that basically birthed the Atlantic Coast Conference.
Mm-hmm, right.
But moving forward, it's just so high level basketball. And Furman, you know, obviously they've had a great season. Bob Ritchie's been great. But last night's game, you saw how good that college basketball could be simply because, man, how good was P.J. Hall? And he only ended up with 15-7. And I think moving forward, that's something to look at because his stats didn't jump off the page at you. But he was still really, really impactful. And his value, I thought, showed last night. But what a great game all around. Virginia Tech got off to a good lead. Clemson just fought and fought and fought and came back. PJ's a little bit hurt. And they started making shots. And it made for some really good television because Maddox hit the shot right in front of me. High-level shot, high-level basketball. Just a great day of hoops all around. I had to get up at 4 in the morning to come up here to New York. And it was every bit worth the trip, but what a move. I mean, coming off, behind the back, hesitation, dribble, and knockdown. I don't know if you'll be able to see my bald head right there on the side, but it was high-level basketball.
Oh, there you are. Yeah, you look good. I see you jump back in the seat there. Okay. So let's gather what we've seen. Mark and I both feel like, and you, I'm going to stay on PJ Hall here for a second, because as we look ahead, I mean, we're Clemson, I doubt it's an NIT. Maybe it's an NIT. Who knows? Doesn't matter. We're talking about 22-23 right here. I'm going to put P.J. Hall preseason All-ACC right now, Terrence, for next year. I think he's that good. I think he's that impactful. He's one of the five best players in the league to start the season next year today.
I don't think there's any question. And it has a lot more to do with how much he impacts what Clemson does. They run all their offense through him because they have shooters around him. Clemson this season shot the ball at a really high rate. And a lot of it was because they got PJ Hall the ball in the post and he commands double teams. And he's a good enough passer to get out of those double teams. So a lot of those guys benefited. And it's just the fact of the matter is he's a great communicator defensively. He is their heart and soul when it comes to in their huddles and things like that. Hunter Tyson played a big role as far as leadership is concerned, but people look to PJ, and he was just terrific all the way around. And he was hurt yesterday, guys. I mean, he was noticeably limping up and down the floor, and he just continued to bring it. And the fact of the matter is that shot he hit to put it into overtime, that was a tough shot. But he gives the Tigers somebody they can go to at the end of the game and know, hey, at least it's going to get close. And then we can get to the rim and create an isolation situation for him. He's a guy that can finish those type of plays. But P.J. Hall, man, it showed how valuable he truly is last night, even though his numbers didn't jump off the page.
T.
James, let's talk about the team that won the game. That's Virginia Tech, and it felt like a must-win situation for the Hokies if you're talking about March Madness in the NCAA tournament. They get the W. Now it's Notre Dame. They only played once in the regular season. Virginia Tech took care of business at home, and at that time, if you remember, kind of felt like the Hokies had to win that game too because they got off to such a lousy start within the league. It was about ready to slip away. Notre Dame was playing well at the time. Here are the Irish coming off the double bye. They've had some time to get rested up. You get a sense, and again, for guys that love shooters, this could be a great game tonight because both of them can light it up when they're on.
Oh, yeah. They're both teams all over the floor. And whether it's Dane Goodwin for Notre Dame and they've got Blake Wesley that can create things for everybody else, they have so many guys that can fill it up. And then you look at a Virginia Tech team. Storm Murphy played really well last night in the first round, right? They had multiple guys hit shots. Darius Maddox comes in. Hunter Couture is one of my favorite players in the conference simply because he signed at Wofford, comes in. He's so mentally tough. He's able to knock down all these shots. It's a game for shooters. It's going to be a lot of offense. It's going to be a stark contrast from whoever Virginia plays because I think these teams might score 70 points, but it's going to be a lot of fun. And Prentice Hubb, he commands the pick and roll so well, and now that they've added Blake Wesley, an NBA-caliber athlete, an NBA-caliber ball handler to that fold, they have multiple guys that can get in the paint, and you've seen how good they've been because of it. And this year, Notre Dame's actually guarding people. Not great, but they are guarding people. So it allows their offense to carry them, and their defense is just enough. And whenever you have so many guys that can shoot the ball, that paint is wide open. And that's why Blake Wesley has been so good, and that's why Prentice Hubb continues to be good.
The only comparison is Jimmer Fredette. Notre Dame now raises their hands above their waist on defense is what you're telling me. That's all you're telling me, right? They used to play hands down. Now they play hands above their waist, right? Not up, just above the waist.
They took the pockets out of those Under Armour shorts is what you're telling me.
Okay. We've kind of covered the Hokies. We've covered Virginia. I am fascinated by BC, Terrence. I mean, you know Earl. This guy can coach it, right? Pac talks about how hard they play. I thought Jaden Zachary he was taking Wake's heart yesterday. Every time looked like, he hit the three to start overtime. It just felt like BC was going to go find a way yesterday. I thought Quentin Post put a quiet game together. He was really effective inside against Dallas Walton. Can these guys do it again today?
You know what? It's going to be tough, but man, have they played well here early. And the Langford brothers, I thought DeMar, I think he's finally taking that step to being the top 100 kid that a lot of people thought he was going to be. Physically, he's so strong, and he scored some tough buckets on the inside too. But Earl just has a mentality being played with this Boston College team. They go after every loose ball. Quentin Post has developed some physicality. At the beginning of the year, he kind of shied away from contact. Yesterday, he embraced all of that. He boarded well. He was active. This team is playing together. They know what they're going to at the end of shot clocks. They're a cohesive unit right now. Earl has done a tremendous job. Even from the beginning of the season till now, you can see the gradual improvement. And Langford's a big part because he gives you somebody that can score and somebody that's physically gifted. And then you got guys around him that they could be an interesting team. Moving forward, it's going to be hard, obviously, because there's a step up in competition. But nonetheless, you got to love what Earl Grant has done with this team, just from a mentality perspective and how they guard and how they communicate and the passion that they play with. Boston College knocked it out of the park with that hire. I think Earl has been terrific all season long.
All right, I'm going back to Duke and North Carolina. We know about what happened Saturday night at Cameron. So now what happens, T.O.? What does Duke do? Are they in a fog? Are they still walking zombies? Or are they coming out spitting mad? And here's Coach K that loves winning the ACC tournament. And what happens with North Carolina? When they're really good, they've been terrific. But they've also given you spikes where all of a sudden they'll follow up a great effort sometimes with an effort where you go, I don't know who these guys are. So expectations of the shades of blue as they both play today.
Well, I think Duke wins the tournament. I think because you never want to lose, but there are such things as a healthy loss. I would categorize the loss against Carolina as a healthy loss. Now, I'm sure Coach K didn't feel that way, but these guys are raring to go. And here's the thing about, I compared it to this. You know when you're at Thanksgiving and you're at your grandparents' house and your grandma is kind of bossing everybody around, and then grandpa just has enough and he just goes, no, enough, we're eating. That's what Coach K made me think of at the end of the game. Like, he still got it. He still got that competitive, like, fire. And that, I'll be honest, guys, it made my eyebrows raise. I was like, okay, Coach K is going to be ready to go, and I do not want to be part of that next practice. Mm-hmm. So that was, I think they're going to be raring to go. Mark Williams, you know, there's been debate whether him or Reese Beekman needed to win ACC Defensive Player of the Year. Mark Williams doesn't just guard one guy. He guards everything inside of 10 feet. So I think that's going to be a huge part of it. Paolo Banchero has been up and down towards the end of the season. He still attacks the rim, but he hasn't been nearly as efficient. They have a go-to scorer. They've got guys around him. I think defensively, this Duke team can overwhelm you. They remind you of Duke teams of old. They can overwhelm you. Carolina, on the other end, they go how Caleb Love goes. If he's good, Carolina's good. If that backcourt's good for Carolina, Carolina can be really, really tough. I'd love to see those guys in the finals.
You know, Terrence, here's the thing, though. And Packer, Mark and I sat there Saturday night with Debbie and watched R.J. Davis take that game over. Caleb Love was a good player on that floor, but R.J. Davis, I thought, was the guy that kind of triggered the game for them Saturday night at Cameron. I mean, to me, if R.J. Davis is going to play at that level, and by the way, he's not playing far from home in Brooklyn, to me, that's a guy, and you know, in this environment, how critical is point guard play going to be? I mean, that guy could win you some games, just what he does.
Yeah, point guard play, it's a widespread issue all over the country. I mean, there's probably a handful of guys you would consider elite. But the R.J. Davis, the way he played against Carolina was huge. Just managing, not turning it over. Brady Manek needs guys to help him score. And then Armando Bacot, you still got to get it to him. If you turn it over before you get it there, or you're shooting it before you get it to those guys and those guys get touches – I mean, it's going to be hard, but it all comes down to guard play. And I should have said what you said. I should have said guard play as opposed to Caleb Love, because R.J. Davis, he kind of gets lost in the shuffle sometimes. Played terrific against Duke. If they take care of the ball and they're able to manage the game, I mean, Carolina, they're just as talented as any team in the top 20 in the country. Well, just as talented. And it's just a matter of, are they going to put it together?
Well, we said this Saturday night more than once. Nobody really guarded anybody the other night either. Pack, right?
Well, Duke never got in front of guards. I mean, that was the problem. I mean, they got dominated from that perspective. I want to go back to one other thing. Did the ACC get it right with the one-game suspension on Buddy Boeheim?
You know, that's an interesting thing for me, Pack, because I finished my career on an ejection. It was an elbow. So looking back, you know, a split-second decision can mean so much. And somebody like Buddy, who's widely regarded as one of the nicest players in the ACC and in the country, he lost his head for one split second. And those things happen. Now, obviously, you got to do your time, I guess you would say. And one game, I think it's right. You know, you swing, you hit a guy, and it was almost too evident what he was doing. I mean, that's a problem. But it's tough because Syracuse, with Buddy Boeheim, was going to have a hard time with Duke. Now you play without Buddy Boeheim against Duke and in New York State, where Syracuse probably is going to have one of the larger fan contingents. It hurts things. So it stinks. It's part of it. You regret it immediately. Speaking from experience, you regret it immediately. It's a horrible feeling, but you got to serve what they tell you to do, right? And it's tough because you never want to see somebody's career end that way.
Just curious, did you find a place that recreates a Clemson dorm room to stay in New York? Is that what you went with?
Is that
Field of 68 credit card going to work for you there?
Yeah, that Field of 68 budget is not at the Marriott right now. But it's getting there. But, yeah, it might as well be a dorm room. I'm staying here for 4 days, so I've got ties hanging up. There's all kinds of stuff going on. It was a great night of sleep, too. There's police sirens going off everywhere. There's, you know, it snowed a little bit whenever I landed. It was 75 degrees in Clemson. I land here snowing. So, yeah, it's part of it.
You know what, though? It's part of the joy of spending $1,200 a night to see what you get in New York City, isn't it?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. All right. Garden or Barclays today for you, T.O.? Because I know Goodman's got you on he and Doster got you on the interchangeable subway routes, right?
They got me in both of them. Yesterday, I was in the ACC because I knew I'd be with you guys. And quite frankly, I'm going to be in the Garden for the Big East tournament both tonight and tomorrow night. And then Saturday, back at the Barclays for finals day. We're going to do shows from there at the arena, both arenas, actually. Wow. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I've enjoyed this so much, just being able to come and watch hoop and talk to you guys. I mean, this season has been a blast.
I know Childress is involved on that. Ashton Gibbs is involved on that. Got some coaches. Is anybody guard anybody on that field of 68? I don't know of any. Are there any stoppers on that show? Goodman just signing all offensive guys.
Not a single one.
Okay.
Not a single one. All shooters shoot. Ashton Gibbs, I mean, I'm sure he was much better defender than me, but I think John Fanta is too. So it was a matter of like, and those who don't know, John Fanta runs with the Big East a lot. So that's a big part of it. But no, not a whole lot of passing going on, and not a whole lot of defense for basically the whole team. They wanted to have like a pickup thing in New Orleans. I was like, guys, I think it might start arguments because nobody's
Fanta
guarding anybody.
Is not
everybody wants
anybody
to shoot it.
Hey, as long as somebody else is picking up the tab,
you're good,
T.O.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
That's it. I'll sleep in a dorm room.
That's
somebody
right.
else is picking up the tab. I'm fine with that.
That's how you roll right there.
All right. You can see Terrence Oglesby knock down a 40-footer in the tournament documentary. That'd be episode 9, ladies and gentlemen. It's right before Casey Rivers scores on the steal and layup to beat Duke. That's the way I look at it, right?
Yeah, just a minor blip in that entire story. Cliff Hammonds had a piece in that story where he wore his jersey over his outfit, over his he looked crazy, but he's like, hey, we played defense. I was like, yeah, we did, or they did. I was there, but they played defense, and I was in attendance. So they were really that was a tough team, guys. That was a tough team.
It was. Stay safe. We'll see you soon, okay? Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. Our pleasure. Cliff Hammonds. Jersey over the walk-in gear.
By the way, and I've said this before because we do a bunch of Field of 68 on SiriusXM.
Yeah.
If you're a basketball junkie.
Oh, it's.
Now, I'm just hear me out now. If you're a basketball junkie and you cannot get enough college basketball, the Field of 68 guys are sensational.
Yep.
They know their stuff. They break it down. Every time I've had a Field of 68 guy on the radio show, I could ask about a Mountain West Conference question. Boom, here's an answer. I mean, those dudes know their stuff. They're outstanding.
They've got former coaches, former players.
Really good.
Jeff Goodman, Rob Doster do a great job corralling it all. John Fanta is a Big East historian.
I had him on the other day.
He's great.
We were going into some old Big East stuff, talking about Patrick Ewing and Georgetown stuff. Yeah. And again, like I said, if you love college basketball, check those guys out. They are outstanding.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Hey, don't forget our coverage of the ACC tournament presented by New York Life continues tonight, late night. Pack, they got 11:30 written down here following the quarterfinals. What do you think?
They wished.
They're hoping for 11:30.
When they're done, they can come have a slice with me.
Okay, yeah. So when the quarterfinals end tonight on ESPN, you flip right over to ACC Network. Kelsey Riggs, Joel Berry, Carlos Boozer, Luke Hancock will be live with coverage, analysis, highlights, and more in a preview of the semis. And by the way, congratulations to Kelsey. She successfully participated in the Red Panda last night at Barclays Center. Easy transition to nothing but net from there as well. So that's tonight, ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app.
Red Panda do the bicycle bowl thing again?
Successfully, I might add.
Oh, is that right?
There was a toss from Kelsey that was a little shaky.
So the Red Panda hasn't changed anything? It's like Wake in the bracketology. Despite a quad three loss, they've stayed basically the same. The Red Panda's act basically has stayed the same. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. By the way, 11:30, I'm hoping that American Airlines is only about an hour and a half late. So 11:30 would be perfect by the time I get back to Brooklyn.
All right. We got 8 schools left in the quarterfinals of the New York Life ACC tournament. For some of these schools, this is common ground, right? Semifinal advancement, championship advancement. Here's a look at the grid. Duke and Syracuse kick it at noon on ESPN, then pivot over to ESPN2 for the middle games. Boston College in Miami, And Notre Dame, Virginia Tech kicks off the evening session. Then back over to ESPN for Carolina, Virginia tonight about 9:30, which puts nothing but net. 11:30, quarter to 12 tonight. Maybe.
No way they'll be doing it at 11:30 West. There's no way.
All right. Here's a look. Last semifinal appearances. Syracuse never made one. Boston College, it's been since 07 that the Eagles made the semifinals. 11 for the Hokies. Greenberg got them to the semis in 11. And you see 16, 17, 19, and 21 for the remaining schools. Championship runs. Miami, it has been since they won it, Pac, 2013. You see the rest of those guys, 15, 19, 16 for Carolina, 18 for Virginia. So there you go.
I think we'll have one game today / tonight that will raise some eyebrows. I do. I think there'll be one tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or today.
Yeah. Virginia, by the way, should note, they made the 21 semifinal. Remember, then the COVID hit. They had to forfeit.
Georgia Tech said thank
Georgia
you.
Tech played a quarter and a finals. They won two games to win the ACC tournament. But that was the landscape game.
It is what it is, man.
Yeah. All right, eight teams left. How do they do against each other this season? You're going to be surprised that Duke is 7-3? No. The North Carolina 7-3 may, you know, given kind of the bobble and wobble the Tar Heels have had at times. Remember, they lost to Duke, they lost to Notre Dame, they lost to Miami. That's the three losses.
I think the note on this for me is that Notre Dame only played eight games.
That's it.
That, to me, is the number that pops.
Yep. Everybody else, 10, 9 in the case of Virginia Tech, right?
Yep. But only playing eight mm-hmm. against what's left. Again, that's why when you look at regular season standings, sometimes, hey, terrific, but who did you play and who did you beat?
By the way, two of the eight, Boston College, who they split with.
That's right.
So.
Just saying.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the reasons tonight Virginia Tech, I think, has got a shot against Notre Dame.
And we spent a lot of time talking about Q1 wins. Remember that? For Carolina? The seven wins they've got on that board, two of them are their quad one wins, Duke and Virginia Tech. I think it gets interesting. I really do. How about neutral floor? You caught up in neutral floor?
I think there's a couple here that are going to surprise people with the zeros.
Carolina and Notre Dame?
They pop off the page when you see Notre Dame and North Carolina have as many – neutral site mm-hmm. W's is Chester and Fuller.
Purdue, Tennessee, Kentucky for Carolina.
That's a tough group now. But you know what? Quite frankly, they really were not competitive in those games.
And they were all before January 1.
That's right.
So let's keep an eye on Carolina. Has they been the steady improvement? Absolutely.
Well, they've been great down the stretch.
11-13.
Playing their best basketball at mm-hmm. the right time.
Yeah. So there you go. All right, just a little bit of dive there.
Some nuggets in there for you. Mm-hmm. A couple bar bets.
Yep.
Throw there and impress your buddies.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Here in Brooklyn, Coach K will take the court for his final ACC tournament. As much as he will be missed in Kayville and Cameron, this week won't feel the same next year when he's gone.
The Blue Devils under Mike Krzyzewski have taken it.
Because for the last four decades, Coach K and his Blue Devils have been a constant force here, taking home 15 tournament titles. Having already won the ACC regular season this year, if he is once again cutting down nets on Saturday night, Coach K will have accomplished part two of three of a championship curtain call.
There you go. Regular season, tournament title, and of course, boy, that you want to talk about the finality of that deal setting in, we'll talk about that next week. You and I are old enough to remember the finality of others. Coaching, hey, this is going to be it, by the way. You know, Al McGuire being most notable. But there have been some others that, and by the way, they end like second round. And the NCAA is an event where the winners advance and the losers are shown the corridor to leave. It's pretty stark, to be honest with you. Let's go to Lower Manhattan because that's where the real money is. We know that, right? The financial district just steps away from billions and millions is Brendan Marks of The Athletic. Pack, are you surprised? I am not that we find our familiar friend there.
Well, not everybody can enjoy the comforts of Brooklyn Heights. So you go over to the slums down there in Lower Manhattan like my man Marks has. I understand.
Listen, somebody's got to do it, and I will gladly rise to that occasion.
All right, so for those of us who are going to be arriving today, give us the subway ride. How's that work for you? Into right there at Atlantic Avenue, right?
It's easy.
How's that go for you?
It's
pretty easy?
Nice and easy for me. Yeah, I just get on Fulton Street. It's, you know, 4 or 5 stops, and boom, I'm right there. Hop right out. So, and listen, without the rain running down the steps like it was yesterday, it'd be a much nicer ride today, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's I used to do that every day, man. That first stop in Brooklyn, that was my spot getting off.
All right.
There you go. So.
All right. Listen, last night, the Commonwealth of Virginia was on alert. I mean, they really had both. Virginia and Virginia Tech had must-win games, Brendan. And you know what? For Virginia's sake, it wasn't pretty, but it was a W. And for the Hokies, Maddox to the rescue again. I mean, survive in advance was absolutely in play last night in Brooklyn.
Absolutely it was. And I think for Virginia especially, now you have an opportunity today by virtue of yesterday to really earn yourself sort of a marquee win against North Carolina. And so, you know, for the Tar Heels, the first time these two teams played wasn't very competitive. North Carolina had one of its better wins of the season at home. And but I think this is a very different Virginia team than it was when these teams first played, right? I think that you've seen the development, you've seen the improvement. Personally, I'm fascinated to see what it looks like between Jaden Gardner and Brady Manick. I think that's a really interesting matchup between those two guys. But look, like the Cavaliers have given teams some trouble. And I think that, you know, if you look at them and you're looking bigger picture, if they're able to steal a win tonight against North Carolina, you start looking over to the other side of the bracket, They've beat some of the better teams on that side. So I'm really interested to see how that game's go today. And yeah, obviously Maddox saving the day for Virginia Tech right at the buzzer. We love those. There have been a couple of blowouts the first two rounds. I'm glad we got to see some closer games, and I'm sure we'll have more today.
All right, Brendan, let's go back to Baycott had 29 and 21 in that regular season game, 29 points, 21 rebounds against Virginia. Virginia's different. We all recognize that. But so is Carolina, right? I mean, the Tar Heels have evolved. They've matured. But also today, and I've said this for the last 3 days with Pac, I think we're getting ready to find out if Carolina can relight the fuse because, man, they spent a lot of energy Saturday night in beating Duke.
Sure did. And I think, you know, the other element of that is, you know, as North Carolina fans have started to taking the starting five, the Iron Five, who played the entire second half of that game, like, these minutes are starting to add up. They've been playing a lot of minutes here lately. So North Carolina has changed, though. You're 100% right. Armando Baycott has been consistent all year. He was terrific in the first game, has been. But look at the pieces around him. Look how they've grown. I think RJ Davis has really evolved as a scorer. I think he's really evolved in terms of being able to handle the pace of the game, control things the way Hubert Davis would like. Brady Manick, I mean, since Dawson Garcia has been gone, he has absolutely come to another level. He has been, you know, the spot down, you know, knockdown shooter for North Carolina. Leaky Black's developed his offensive game. You know, the idea that Leaky Black would be making threes 2 years ago is a crazy notion, but you know, this is a much better team, too, than it was back in November, December. So I'm interested to see if they have the legs to compete with what's going to be a tough Virginia team. If they do, then you know what I'm gunning for. I'm running for round three Saturday night in Brooklyn.
Oh, geez.
Give me Duke Carolina. That's I want put it in my veins, guys.
Speaking of Duke, are we expecting them to have chip on shoulder, being completely ticked off? Laser focus. Coach K loves this event. He loves winning this event. Or do you sense that, hey, that team got knocked back with confidence Saturday night with what North Carolina did to him? I mean, what Duke team do you expect to see, not only this afternoon, but also perhaps moving forward?
The sense that I get from talking to people at Duke since Saturday, obviously the kids are upset. They know they let the one that they couldn't get away. But now that has presented a really interesting dynamic that I don't know if it was previously there. There's a sense that this team now owes Coach K something. You have to get something back for him now. So I think that we are going to see that angry, fired up Duke. I think especially, you know, they've had success against Syracuse already this season. Paolo Banchero, you know, if this was NBA 2K, he is the creative player as a zone breaker. You know, you put him right there at the top of the key and he's able to make things happen. as a passer and as a scorer. So I think Duke is going to come out frustrated. I think they know that they didn't play their best against Carolina. And I think, look, you see people saying, oh, North Carolina's ranked again. The ACC might get five teams. Duke is going to try and reestablish that it is the team to beat in the league. I think they have the talent to do that. And that starts today against Syracuse without Buddy Boeheim.
All right, let's go to that. I know the talk of that building. I've been in that building enough at that event to know that post-game Syracuse, Florida State bled right over the top of Boston College, Wake Forest with people wanting to know what was said, who said it, and what was the ACC going to do. Brendan, what do you think the process was? Do you have any insight to the process that played out before they decided? It seemed to be an easy decision, but I think a lot of people are curious as to how this decision was arrived upon.
Yeah, so I think, you know, obviously you start with the game and it happening in-game, and mm-hmm. the game was not stopped. There was no flagrant one or flagrant two called, and I think, you know, in hindsight, that probably mitigates the issue. You know, if you call a flagrant two, it's excessive. You know, clearly it's excessive and not inadvertent. You know, we've all seen the video multiple times by now. If you do that, then you've handled things. But the fact that there was no consequence in game, I think, is what led to it continuing to bleed over. And, you know, the thing, logistically speaking, right, Jim Boeheim comes to the podium. He's already asked about this. The players are not, the players say they haven't seen it at that point. The fact that Jim Boeheim had tells me that this is something that was given to him and said, hey, look, Coach Boeheim, you need to take a look at this. You're going to be asked about this. This is going to be an issue. The fact that Syracuse went ahead to take the trouble and time to go ahead and put out a statement from Buddy, I think they understood the mechanics of what was going on behind the scenes. And ultimately, at the end of the day, if you don't end up making that decision to suspend Buddy Boeheim today, you're sort of making it open season for more physicality than I think the league would want to see. And so to some extent, when you skip over not having this happen in the game, there had to be consequences after the fact to prevent something like this from happening or even escalating going through the rest of the tournament.
Brendan, I want to go back to something, not that I'm looking to stir this up, but I'm just curious more than anything else. Was there any more conversation about the handshake line with Duke and North Carolina Saturday night?
So there was, and Hubert Davis told us earlier this week that he actually had a chance to speak with both Chris Carwell and John Shire, who's obviously going to be head coach next year. He's the one that, you know, Hubert is going to be developing that closer relationship with. So they all spoke in the days after the game, and as Hubert put it, basically wished each other well. Tensions were high. I get it. Let's move on. And I think, you know, from the Duke perspective, it was okay. Maybe we didn't realize that this was going to be such a big deal as it was, and now we have to address this in some way. You know, I think it's something that the assistant coaches talked about with Coach K. But I think everyone now is at the point where we're past it. I think everybody understands what it was. Tensions are high. You just lost the massive game. You're intense competitors. You're very frustrated. And that bled over into something it shouldn't have. But, you know, there's no lingering ill will, I would say. Most of it's been resolved. And, you know, credit to Hubert Davis and also John Shire and Chris Carwell for working that out.
You know, it's the interesting part, Brendan, and you've been around this like we have. The 24 hours after the game, there were folks talking about, well, the heat on this thing is getting ready to get turned back up. And quite frankly, with Hubert Davis and John Shire, I've never felt more as much respect as I did with Coach Smith and Coach K at the end. Or the way, I mean, I didn't envision 1989 coming back with John Shire and Hubert Davis. So I kind of thought that was a lost statement by some folks. But I'm glad to know that there is a lot of common ground because, as Mark and I said last week, they make each other better, right? I mean, one can't really live without the other in this deal. They're both incredibly successful. And I think Hubert and John understand the gravity by which they're taking these jobs. Hubert already, John will surely find out, right?
Absolutely. And I think that's the next element, too, is that John understands that what Hubert's going through now, he's going to be going through a year from
right.
now. And so there has to be that level of respect. There has to be that level of, okay, if there's an issue, we got to quiet this down. We got to settle it out. Because those guys are going to have a relationship. Like, obviously, Duke Carolina existed before Coach K, before Coach Smith, before Coach Williams. It's going to continue after, but it's going to look different. And I think especially, you know, the last few years and this year it's come to even more of a boil. You talk about, okay, different places honoring Duke and honoring Coach K this season. Did North Carolina, did they say they were going to and then not do something that Duke fans thought was enough? The handshake, I mean, there's just a lot of tension right now, a lot of bad blood. So I think that the ability that those guys have, John and Hubert, and Chris obviously being looped in, to understand that, okay, we can't just let this linger. We can't have the sort of bad blood. Like, this is founded on respect. It gives me huge confidence in what the rivalry is going to look like going forward. And not just what it'll look like, but what it will continue to mean to both schools, to both programs, and to their fan bases.
Brendan, as far as today goes, today and tonight, it does not happen very often. Wes has got all the numbers on his West Durham index card over here. But what do you think the chances of all four top seeds advancing to the semifinals?
That's interesting. That's interesting. You know, I think back to, I think it was last year with Miami in the ACC tournament. Miami struggled a lot last year, had some tough luck with injuries, you know, was really working with a shorthanded roster. And eventually they ran out of gas, but they were able to knock off a couple of teams along the way. Boston College is playing with confidence right now. Boston College is playing a Miami team that I would say was probably playing a little more cohesively in February, late January than it is now. I don't think it's inconceivable that Boston College keeps this run going. I really don't. And I know that sounds crazy, but Earl Grant has his guys fired up. I think that they share the ball at a really high level. We're able to handle the enormity of the moment yesterday against Wake Forest, especially in overtime. You know, I was really impressed with the Eagles yesterday. So I think looking up and down the board, I'd probably go with the favorites in all the other games. But I really do think that there's a chance that Boston College makes this thing interesting. And, you know, I would be remiss not to also include North Carolina, Virginia. Those games always deliver. And like we said, you know, Virginia's going to grind you down. They're going to make you expend a lot of energy. The Tar Heels already did that on Saturday. How much do they still have left in the tank? How much do they want to preserve going forward after this week? So I think that's another one I'd be watching. But Duke and Syracuse without Buddy Boeheim, that's a scary matchup for Syracuse. The rest of them, I think I'd go. But I'm keeping my eye on the Eagles.
He called it scary.
It's a 13 advancing to the semifinals there by Mr. Marks.
Yeah, I saw it. I saw it. You just signed Boston College up. You heard that, Marks. You signed BC up.
Listen, okay, yesterday, in that moment, in overtime, when it's that close, Alondis Williams is back in the game. Jake LaRavia is playing out of his mind. Maybe shots aren't falling, but Damari Monsanto had hit a couple of threes by that point, and Boston College just didn't take its foot off the gas.
Right.
Did not. Right. And you go back and you look, I think that tee that Earl Grant got earlier in the game, I think that was early in the second half, like that carried over to his guys. They took that fire and ran with it. And, you know, maybe it doesn't look quite the same today, but look, we're in Brooklyn. It's been a weird season. It would only be fitting if something else weird happened before we got to Saturday and got done with ACC play.
I do think we're going to have one today that disrupts the 1-2-3-4s all advancing. I think there is one. I'm not sure it's that one because that 3 days in a row, if it's tight and it's got a chance to be close, I just wonder with 10 minutes to go, do they have the legs against a team that's got three great guards? That's a big undertaking if that's close down the stretch.
By the way, since 2006, only three times has a double-digit seed won a quarterfinal game.
Okay. But, hey, it's happened three times. It's happened three more times than you're suggesting that it could not have, guys.
All right.
Listen, you get all the credit tomorrow, and we're in Brooklyn, God willing, that our airlines are on time.
Mine is fine.
Because I'm on US
mine
Air.
Mine is fine.
American Airlines.
US Air, you just said you're on US Air.
I might be, because American may go, hey, we can bring out the US airplanes and get Packer up there, the way they go. But tomorrow morning, assuming, God willing, that we're in Brooklyn, and we're talking about, hey, it's, you know, Syracuse, BC, Duke, BC, you're getting all the credit, all of it.
Yeah.
All of it.
That's all I ask.
That's all you got, guys. Tag your
that and a slice from Patsy's down the road. Those are the only two things I want.
You know, that's where I'm going tonight when I get off the get there. They stay open, don't they?
Yeah,
Patsy's.
That's a 24-hour deal, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. So okay. I'm just saying, you know, if the verbal praise is welcome. The pizza praise is, you know, if you guys are feeling generous.
I'm in. Thank you, Brendan. Your job is done here. Thank you. Yeah. Exactly. Don't let the kid in the glasses fool you, folks. There's a lot of heat coming from the guy right there. All right, take care, Brendan. Good to see you. We'll see you tonight. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Safe travels. All right. I'll see you.
Brendan Marks covers Carolina and Duke for The Athletic. Golly, Pete. He just pushed Boston College into the semis.
Something goofy's going to happen.
That's it.
Normally does.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. Final segment on a Thursday before we hit the road and get up to Brooklyn, the old stomping grounds up here at Brooklyn Heights.
You spent how long there?
I was there about a year and a half.
Year and a half.
I loved it. It was so much fun.
There you go.
Making no money, just finding things to do in New York City. That's show, the best thing.
Show 583 from Barclays Center tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Carlos Boozer, Luke Hancock, and our friend David Teal.
Yep.
All scheduled to join us, plus many, many more. All right. Two Atlantic Coast Conference wrestlers landed two seeds Wednesday as the bracket was unveiled for the wrestling championships in Detroit next week. 40 Atlantic Coast Conference wrestlers are going. The two seeds, Tariq Wilson, he was on this show yesterday at 149 out of NC State. Makai Lewis at 174 out of Virginia Tech. You see Trent Hydeley, third seed at 184. Corbin Myers, Ed Scott are four seeds. Nino Bonacorsi.
Yeah, Nino's been on this too.
Yep. 197 from Pittsburgh is a five seed.
Congratulations, all those dudes.
Absolutely.
Everybody
right.
Everybody heading up to the Motor City, man. Mm-hmm. Love the wrestling guys.
Looking forward to that. Okay, speaking of Brooklyn, last night Clemson in the house. The Huddle had a little bit of a reunion party there.
What's going on with that?
E.J. Manuel, Eric McClain, Jordan Cornette.
Up there?
Well, up there, I guess, taking in the tournament. All basketball guys, as we know, right? They all love basketball. They were front row at Wake Forest over in the early season before the Deeks played football against NC State.
So the football crew's there, but we're not.
Well, you know, it works out that way sometimes. Eric McClain, though, and Amir Sims pausing for a photo last night. What in the world?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
What is that that the big man's wearing?
That is the Eric McClain taking something from the Kenny Denard selection, right?
Well, it's Camo Kenny, and that is – Striped Tiger Mac.
Wow. I did not see that one before.
You hadn't seen that before?
No.
What do you think,
I don't
huh?
spend a whole lot of time on social media. I told you. That's the first I'd seen of that one.
Yeah.
Wow. Eric. All right.
Okay.
Well, are you walking around in Brooklyn with that now?
I catch ya.
Cops may just pull you over and ask for some identification.
But wait. There's more.
There is?
Bang. Let's go to the video, shall we? There's Kelsey Riggs with bowls in hand.
Oh, not the Red Panda.
Look, Joel Berry, aide de camp to Kelsey last night.
Oh, the Red Panda.
Oh, that's not a great throw.
Oh.
That's why you played soccer, Kelsey.
It's the most tired act in Vegas right
Stop.
There.
Stop. Stop it.
So tired.
Otherwise, congratulations. Look at Joel Berry. Oh, there's a fist pump. Look at Joel.
That was the problem.
Joel helping with the bowls.
That
is a fly ball.
That is a
on the infield.
That's Kelsey Riggs' Sweet 16 toss. Red Panda. Let me guess what her act will be tomorrow night. She's going to get on a unicycle and catch bowls.
There's so much disdain for
I'm
Red Panda.
I'm not a fan of the Red Panda.
Oh,
I got to tell you, I'm
how
not.
Can you not be
it's
a fan?
It's tired. She did the same act 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Come on with something new.
All right. Speaking of on
flames,
this...
fire, live animals, something.
Couple Hoops, of on this date for
rope.
You, 29 years ago tonight, AC/DC inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Give me that.
There you go.
Supposedly the Red
on
Panda.
This date. On this date tonight, we got Carolina Virginia lacrosse for you right
Ooh.
Here on ACC Network tonight.
God, I'm going to miss that too. Doggone it.
Yeah, you're going to be in flight in your PJ to New
hope
York.
So.
Your private jet.
That'd be
US
good,
Air.
Though. We had Connor Schnellenberger on yesterday.
Yeah, he was fabulous.
Virginia. And the heels, no joke.
That's it.
Cross.
That's big time.
That'd be excellent.
Yep. Highlights of the quarterfinals, details, and more coming up tonight. 11:30, Nothing But Net, live from Barclays Center. You got lacrosse at 8 o'clock. We are live from Barclays Center tomorrow morning.
God willing.
At the ACC tournament.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.